Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach just outside of Washington, D.C. Or at least I did before COVID. Once the COVID stuff started, everything changed. And so for the past 6 months or so, I've been teaching from my house. I've been writing from my house. I've been coaching from my house. I've been strategizing and consulting from my house, publishing from my house, writing from my house, and trying to figure out how do we do teaching in this best version of whether it's from our houses or from some sort of hybrid model or back in schools safely as we try to figure out what the fall plans look like. Because all over the planet, here it's mid-August, we're at that spot now where people are like, well, I'm going back. I don't know what back looks like. But today's podcast, I'm hoping to give some insight and some resources about how to stock up at the end of summer on the things that you will need for the start of the school year. And I think some of the answers might surprise you. We'll get to that in a second, but first things first. If you'd like what you're hearing and you want to hear more, new episodes drop every Monday, about 10 to 15 minutes of a podcast each week. It was guided by the traffic. Now I just do it from the house, and I try to keep it about 10 to 15 minutes because we're very busy people. Don't make a lot of money, and you don't have a lot of time to waste in teaching. So I hope not to waste either your time or your money. So if you like what you're hearing, feel free to like or leave a comment on your favorite podcasting app. And like I said, new episodes drop every Monday. Thing the second, you want to talk further? I don't pretend to be the expert on this stuff. I'm just a guy who loves this and I want to get better at it. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at @mehanedu. And I will gladly talk about this or anything else related to the teaching field. Just hit me up and find me over there. Third thing is I have a website. If you like this stuff and you want to go deeper into some of it, I have a bunch of resources and templates, multimedia, whatever you need. It's all there on my website, which is www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. And so feel free to beg, borrow, use whatever you need on the website. Steal it, adapt it, change it. T.S. Eliot, the American author, famously says that mediocre writers borrow, great writers steal. Please steal everything that is mine. If I have anything that was cool, worth sharing in the first place, to quote Sir Isaac Newton, he says, if I see further than other men before me, it's because I stand on the shoulders of giants. Everything that I have, I try to offer open source as best as I can, because I think, like I said, we don't make a lot of money in this field. We try to make a difference. And so to make an impact as fast and as big as we can, I'm here for it. So whatever you need. Yay. And on my website, you have a book. That is like the one thing that will cost you money. But you can even read the first couple chapters available for free on Amazon. And that's book is called Adrenaline Rush. It's all about game-changing student engagement inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. So enough of that. I want to talk about stocking up end of summer because we're back in its fall. By the time you're hearing this, it's probably August 10th, maybe. And I'm thinking at this point of the year, your school has either told you once, twice, or three times, okay, we're coming back, but here's what back looks like. And there's all sorts of crazy that comes with that too. And there's a fear and there's like a concern and we don't know what it looks like. So how do we kind of store up what's essential and like let go the things that are not? I had a friend one time, he's a youth minister, and he says, you know, when talking about things with students, they can feel overwhelmed and, you know, like how do they turn to their faith or turn to, you know, healthy coping mechanisms in hard times. He says a metaphor he'll often talk about is walking down a street or walking down a road that's covered in rocks and you have a bucket. Your bucket's only so big, right? And you probably have heard this metaphor too. He says, look, if you have all these rocks in your way, all these obstacles, look at the size of your bucket. You could start by grabbing the first 5 or 10 rocks you see, but very quickly you're going to find yourself burdened and overwhelmed. He says, instead, size up the road in front of you and say, okay, my bucket is only so big. Let me carry the big rocks first because I can avoid the other rocks a little easier. Plus, if you put the big rocks in first, you know how much space you have left in your bucket to put in those smaller pebbles and those stones and the sand, because they kind of fill in the cracks. If you just grab like a bucket full of the first stuff that you see, you'll find very quickly there are big rocks further down the road, but oops, you have no space left in your bucket because you've, you know, not scouted that road out as necessary. So I think it's important as we talk about coming back to school, what does it look like? What is essential? What do we stock up on? What do we put in our emotional, you know, metaphorical teacher buckets before we go back? Because back-to-school sales and back-to-school savings for generations have been like a rite of passage. There's a part of me as a kid that used to get geeked out about it, buying a new Trapper Keeper, right? Buying new folders for each class, color-coding the ones so that each folder was for a different colored class, a different notebook for each class, you know, the Mead 5-star notebooks. You had to get a new one every year, even though you never finished the last sections of your last Mead 5-star. It was just a rite of passage. Brand new year, brand new pages, clean slate. Even though those Trapper Keepers, you probably use them for, you know, only one or two classes at all. The science was the green folder, and you had a little sticker that was blue for the, you know, the English class or red for a history class. And I'm sure as I'm saying that, you're probably geeking out because there's a nostalgia to that. You're like, yeah, I always did the green for the science class too, because it's science. It would be weird if it was the brown folder. And that moment where you're coming in with excitement and enthusiasm says, okay, this year will be different, right? What you've done is grab metaphorical rocks off the road and say, I can't control what's going to come down the line, but I know a few of these things early. And that actually bled over into my teaching career. My first mentor teacher told me that the more systems you have in place in your school year, if you implement them with fidelity, then the smoother your class year will run. And I've loved that, the idea of, hey guys, if you ever miss any work, here's where you can find it, whether it's a digital or physical location in the classroom. So setting up your class for those first days back with that bulletin board or that, you know, turn-in folder or any decorations on the wall to help bring kids in, right? You know, hey, I think they really care about Fortnite. So this year, the whole theme will be a Fortnite theme on the bulletin board or a Monopoly theme or a Ninja Turtle, whatever the thing is, right? There's a joy that kind of bleeds back into it. And even in setting up your procedures early, one that I loved early in my physical classroom was a bathroom pass system, which is a dopey, fun, stupid thing. But for me, in my classroom, if you ever need to use the restroom, I was always frustrated when students in the middle of a great conversation, because there was a lot of like, you know, popcorn-style sharing, and not like I'm calling on students one at a time, but everyone's talking and everyone's going like pop, 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 pop. And there's a joy and there's an energy that comes from that. But on those first days of class, you want to make sure that everyone's voice is heard. So you're hearing from Jack and from Janie and from Billy and Bob and from Tommy. And what's this? Trey? Trey's raising his hand to join in the conversation. I've never heard from Trey before. Yeah, Trey, what's going on, man? And he's like, can I use the restroom? And you're like, oh, darn it. That kind of kills it, right? So on those first days, I'm setting up a pattern that says, hey, guys, if you ever need to use the restroom all year in my class, don't matter whether we're studying English class, math class, science class, history class, whatever it is, or whether we're studying nonfiction or poetry or rhetoric or writing or rhyme or rhythm or new media or videos, if you ever need to use the restroom, it happens. Instead of raising a hand, which will just throw the whole system off, because then again, we'll just kill that flow state, just go ahead and raise your cell phone. And that's a dumb, small thing, but it's like a high sign to me as a teacher that you're not actually using this as a way to get into the conversation. You're raising a hand to say, I just need to tap out for a second. I'll then give you the thumbs up, and you can then take that cell phone, leave it by the door. It sort of acts as your hall pass. You've sort of left some collateral, so you have a reason to come back. And because you're not playing on your phone on the toilet, there's way fewer germs being spread through our classroom. Win, win, win. Look at that. But even something as dumb as that in those early days of class, I love early setting that up, because it sets a pattern that says, oh, there's a fun, there's a dynamism, there's like a system to this thing. And it does run that much more smoothly. That is an essential thing to stock up on, again, whether it's a physical purchase or an emotional, you know, investment in students, just as a procedure goes at the start of the year. But as we talk about this brand new school year then, as we adapt and overcome to this new thing, whether you're in person full time, but you're not likely to be able to do physical classroom stuff where, okay, they're in, but they're not allowed to be in groups, not allowed to be, you know, in partners, not allowed to use Legos or manipulatives or story cubes or magic markers. Whether you do the hybrid model where you're kind of doing a little bit at home, but also a little bit in school, which is tough because you only get them for one day a week or 2 days a week. And so how do you maximize time with them when you're like, but I need to give them a test? Because if you give them a test, every time they come to school, they're not going to want to come to school and your class is going to suck. Or if you're doing that full distance model where you're like, just kidding, I'm never going to actually meet you people face to face. So now I'm just a nameless robot behind the internet. You know, how does that look? I think this is important to stock up early on those big rocks that will get in our way as we go through the school year. And I might just make a radical suggestion here, but I don't think it has to do with, you know, to use the Grinch stole Christmas. You know, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. Like, it doesn't come from anything that you can buy. Instead, it comes from what you have invested in before your school year starts. And that's not a thing you can buy on a shelf. It's a thing that will sustain you with your emotional rocks that you're going to be tripping over all school year long. It's a scary time for all of us. We are all making a concerted effort to do the best we can with unknown variables, constantly new changing things. The CDC reported yesterday that there's 97,000 kids who in the last 2 months of July who have contracted COVID. So all of this nonsense about, well, you know, kids don't get it like adults get it. While that's all true, maybe, we still see that there are tens of thousands of people who are being affected to the tune of now they're bringing it back into schools around adults who will likely be exposed to it. And that's the fear. So as I'm talking about for investing, what I'm saying is do what you got to do for you emotionally right now. For me, it meant spending the weekend with my family because I don't think I'll be able to see my family during the school year. Every single day I am in that building, I will be exposed to at least a room full of students twice a day. And every time I'm leaving that classroom, I'll be exposed to colleagues. I have 100 colleagues who will be in that building every single day. The common vector of colleagues, even though the students will only be 2 days a week on a Tuesday, Thursday schedule or a Wednesday, Friday schedule, I will be in that same building, breathing that same air as 1,000 kids plus 100 plus colleagues and, you know, custodial workers and, you know, food service staff, I'm going to be exposed to the common vector of germs from just being in that physical space, 1,000 people a week, for real. And I'm not going to feel comfortable coming home on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving when I was with students up until Tuesday prior. That's terrifying. My family lives in New Jersey. We live in Pennsylvania. I will not have the opportunity to just sort of pop by on a weekend when I'm down here in D.C. because I will be carrying with me like a human petri dish or a cotton swab all of those germs, all of those collective ugs that I've been around. So for every day in the classroom with my kids, that's a week that I will not be able to spend just with a like pull the ripcord and see your family kind of thing. And that to me is terrifying. It's really sad. If I'm being 100% honest, it is the exact worst thing that I think could possibly happen to teachers who already give so much of themselves to this profession, is to say, hey, and now we're asking you to literally lay down the rest of your life for these kids in this classroom because your time with your students is frankly more important than your time with your family. Look, I'm an adult. I'm a grown up. I get it. I don't have to be at mom's house every day and like getting a home cooked meal. I moved to Washington, D.C. 20 years ago, and I never moved home. And it's not because I don't like my parents. It's because I wanted to sort of be an adult. And here's that adult moment, like, you know, suck it up, buttercup. I get it. And all these things are fair, and I do understand that that is what the job demands. Much like if you, you know, had to be on the front lines as a medical, you know, personnel, or if you were in a deployed place where you were overseas, you know, just that's the job. You have to sort of settle in and say, this is what I'm here for. And to do this job well means I can't keep, like Saving Private Ryan, pulling out the card from my wallet where I show the picture of the girl I'm coming home to. Because the second I do that, I'm going to distract myself from the purpose of I'm here for these kids. And immediately those rocks come right back into the road. That bucket has no bottom and you just sort of freak yourself out. So I encourage teachers over these next days or weeks as you're making those end of summer sales count, don't just buy into stuff that is, you know, financial or, you know, procedural. Invest in things that are of emotional support to you, spiritual support to you, you know, mental support or psychological support. So you know that you are okay going back in. You can't control it. You can't control just about anything going forward. But for now, you can say, hey, I saw my family today. I spent some time with my loved ones today. I worked on those things that I needed to for my own mental health purposes today. And you just let that be it. Don't get too precious. Don't get too spun up about what this looks like because we don't know. But you can say, hey, if I'm here now, at least I'm here now. I put my phone away. I just enjoy the company of my friends and family for now because I don't know how much I have left. I don't know how much more time I have left. That's not like to be very dark about it. Let's be very real. I want to enjoy their time now so it doesn't get to October, November, and I'm sitting there crying, saying, oh my God, I miss my mom and dad. That's true. I absolutely will. But I don't feel safe about doing the mom and dad stuff on the weekends when I'm driving up and bringing home a disease or maybe a, you know, an infection to people who might not have the ability to suppress it like my immune system has. And so to say I will hunker down, I will get this job done, it's going to be 8 or 9 months of rocks on the road every day. What are those big rocks for you now? What are those things you're tripping over and you're saying, if I can control nothing else, I want to make sure that I've, you know, I don't know, make sure that my son is potty trained or make sure that the puppy is safe in the house or make sure that, you know, me and the wife have a chance to put a date night on the calendar once a week or make sure that I meet with my therapist and I talk about whatever I need to or I make sure that I have my own health concerns sorted out or I've got the car fixed or whatever it looks like because we're about to go into like the danger zone, the Thunderdome, and we got to be there for those kids every single day. We have to let them know, hey, I'm here with you, I'm here for you, and I share all of these fears and frustrations that you have. They're real, they're valid, it's more human, it's more empathetic, and ultimately it will make us better teachers, if not just better humans down the line. But control what you can now, grab those big rocks and say, if I have to do this year unlike any other, that I'm not just going to buy up a whole bunch of stuff from the stores or from the app store. I'm going to invest in what is most essential to me. And if the pandemic has taught us anything, is that a lot of things that we used to concern ourselves with really don't matter. Let your kids show up in the Zoom calls wearing PJs. I don't care. The fact that they gave enough time out of their day to show up for you, that's awesome, man. Let them know that your class is an awesome class, that you're not going to sit there and spend thousands of dollars on plagiarism software. Rather, you're going to create assignments for them, assessments with them, that they will be so excited to complete that they wouldn't think to or want to cheat because they're so engaged in your classrooms. We have to rethink, we have to re-strategize, we have to adapt and overcome. Plans can, plans do, and plans will change. So stocking up and storing up and investing in the things that are those big rocks for your bucket might be our best way, safest way, at least, to start a school year that will truly be unlike any other. For better or worse, we're in it together. God bless you. Stay safe. Stay home. Wear a mask. Please keep me posted. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm happy to talk further at MeehanEDU. And we'll be back next Monday with more. Thanks again. And I'll see you next time.